Well, I'll tell you, we're on a subject of being filled with the Spirit. Last Sunday, I was talking in some areas and looking, and we were in 1 Corinthians, and we were at the, you know, the really 12th, 13th, and 14th chapters we're talking about. I want to go back into them because the things that the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me about is the Spirit-filled church. Because, and understand, you know, we were singing this morning, the God to be glorified in the church. We need to understand this. This building is not a church. We call it a church, but it's not the church. This is a place where the church meets. The believer is the church. We're the temple of God. Whether we got a house or place or not, that changes nothing. And we started, the church got to go back over. Today, the churches are about mostly natural. It's how, you know, there's nothing wrong. I have nothing against big buildings and all that kind of stuff. But I'm sorry, they've become the forefront of too much of things. The stuff has become too much of the forefront of things. And God has been too minimized. We want God minimized. I want God in the forefront. I want to tell you, I want to be able to meet God. I don't care if I'm in, you know, out here at landfill. I'm tired of this. Everybody needing some kind of, you know, having the right atmosphere. I want to tell you what, the times that I've desperately needed God was time when the atmosphere was all wrong and I needed to get a hold of heaven. When you're in an emergency and things are happening, the atmosphere ain't right. There ain't, you know, you don't have the right lighting going on and all the kind of things that people need to have in trappings today. You know, going to churches today, they got, you know, mood lights. Trying to get people in a good mood. My God, if they got saved, they would be. The whole thing is, a bunch of heathens don't know how to follow God, and they got the devil called a pastor. Don't know God, wouldn't know him if he showed up with a red hat on and a neon sign that said God. He still wouldn't know him. And we need, you know, folks, I'll tell you what, I'm tired of seeing what's happening in the church world today and what's called Christian. There's a lot of ain't Christian out here. There's a lot of stuff. And what happens, it is destroying God's people. It's pulling God's people away from God. You know, the whole thing is, when I came into the kingdom, I mean, it was just such a big thing about hooking up with God, about your experience with God, your walk with Him. It was such a big thing, and today it's like, well, we just go do our routine. You know, people go down to church. I mean, we got big churches out here. I know I got pastors. I know them well. You know, we don't preach for no more than 20 minutes because, you know, our society is different today. You know, people can't take it like they could. My God, they can take 3 hours in a movie theater. They can sit there but for anything else of entertainment. My God. God, you'll puke after 20 minutes. Oh, we got to have this, you know, get him in and get out, because this is the way our society. People are busy. I don't give a rip how busy you people are. I really don't give a rip. That's your problem, not mine. I don't give a rip about it. I'll tell you, I'm going to serve God, and whatever you guys do, it don't matter to me. And I'm going to tell you what, you're going to think, well, he's a hard guy. No, I am. I want God more than I want you. I'm of no, I'm no benefit to you guys unless I know God. Or this becomes just nothing but a stupid thing where we come and play like we want something, and we really don't, and go home and just go back and do our own things. You people ain't like that. But I'm going to tell you what, we could walk from church to church in our area, and there's loads of people who are like that. They're just here today doing their thing. And I tell you, people think they're wonderful. They think the things are, everything's good and everything's happy. You know, just this past week, I talked with a man for a while. Church in our valley. He's an elder in the church. When I got done listening to him talk to me, because I didn't say too much about it, because when he got talking, I thought, dear God, deliver us from evil. I thought, I know why America's so messed up. Christians are the dumbest people in America. He got talking about people running in the election and all this kind of stuff. And he says, well, when it comes down to it, whoever God wants in is the guy that's going to get in. And I thought, well, if that's true, I mean, what on earth do we even go vote for? And my God, you mean God gave us Obama? Well, I was almost said to him, I'd say, man, Obama ain't our problem. It's God's our problem. God's the troublemaker. But I want to tell you, I'm just going to say it. I don't care if it's on tape, people like it or not. This anti-Baptist stuff is sick and demonic. because it's Calvinism. And it's based on whatever will be, will be. You know, Charles Capps, I can see it today. You know, we have gotten away with it in here, America. Years ago, that, you know, God did things. People walked in the light the best they can. But we're down now. The funnel of light's getting closer to the end. And these people are walking in darkness, whether they realize it or not. They're going to be ready for Jesus' return. They might go to heaven, but they're going to find out when they get there the trouble that they caused in the land they lived. People aren't changing to what we need to learn and walk in today. The church needs to learn and take its responsibility today and realize what's going on in our land. You know, it's like, well, this just, whoever God wants, it's just going to happen. If God wants it, it will. I thought, oh, dear God. No wonder we're in such big trouble. No wonder people don't want Christianity. Why would you want a belief that does nothing, that doesn't, you know, well, God just, you know, if he wants to drop a brick out of heaven on you, he just drops a brick on you. Take it and shut up. Is that going to be our God? Well, he's in control. See, if he was in control, he would have killed you a long time ago. He would have hit you with a bolt of lightning or something or a meteor out of heaven someplace to shut your stupid mouth. And I was sitting there listening to that, and I thought, my God, we have a land that's in desperate need, and the elders of a church are crazy. What do you think they pray for about our nation? See how people say, we need to pray. Well, what for? That's what I want to know. I'm tired of people asking me to pray about things. Well, the direction that I know that the Bible says and the direction they're going to go, we ain't going to be in any kind of agreement in prayer. I totally believe that a lot of the mess in our country today has been prayed in by crazy Christians. You need to understand this. When you touch into the realm of the Spirit, you start speaking words out of your heart, whether they are good or bad. You open up doors to things in the spirit realm, good or bad. If you open up, you can open up to bad things. I know it's true. I operated on both sides in my life. I know how it works. And you get over there and you start moving in wrong directions and false directions, and we got a lot of false stuff going on in the church today that is opening doors to demonic powers because people are believing wrong junk and moving in wrong areas. And it's allowing demons to begin to move. My God, today is one of the places you want to get a devil, go to church. All kind of deceiving spirits. All kind of stuff. Hallelujah. Thank God it ain't us. We don't want that. But it's going on out here. I tell you, it breaks my heart. When I sat down, I thought, my God, if there's not a move in this America, man, God got to reach the church. Anybody reaching sinners? God got to reach the church. The church is messed up. Hallelujah. It's crazy. But anyhow, it was interesting anyway. Sitting and listening to it, I thought, my God, he's a brother. You know what? He's going to end up in heaven. But boy, is he going to be shocked when he gets there. It's not going to be what he thought. It's not going to be those things. Hallelujah. See, I'm teaching over here, and we're going to go back into Corinthians again because we're going to talk about the Spirit-filled church. Spirit-filled church. Paul really dealt with the church at Corinth. They were a Spirit-filled church. Corinth had a lot of problems in it. Had a lot of nutty stuff that went on. But one of the things that we look at is the carnal church. We get some of the greatest teaching out of the Corinthian letters because it does a lot of correction to a lot of problems. And so there's a lot could be learned from it in a church world. Now, most of the church doesn't believe in the Spirit-filled life, so they don't get any lessons out of these. Corinthians to them is like, there's some pages we like and some we don't like. There's some we do. Like, I know when I went to church, they never... 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, was an unread chapter. They only did 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and you never did the 14th chapter. Those were never taught. And they thought because they had read the love chapter, therefore it was all going to work out. God loved them so much that he was going to kill their kids because he needed another star in heaven. Dear Lord, if our God is that sick that he can't create himself a new star, that he needs to go kill somebody's kids. I mean, I grew up in a church. They would talk this stuff. And I was a young teenager. I left the church and left home over this junk of living in a household with this nonsense. I had enough sense to leave. I don't believe adults stay and live in it. I can't imagine adults stay and live in these stupid churches. I couldn't stand it as a teenager because I thought God was the greatest problem on the earth. I thought the devil is not bad like they said because God, every ugly thing that happened, God did it. Every ugly storm that came along killed people. God, that's an act of God. Where do you think the insurance companies got those things said from? They got it from the church. Telling them God was killing people. And the insurance company started writing them in, even in their policies, they would put them down. Act of God. They got it from the church. Dear Lord. You know, I'm crazy enough, but let's not. Dear God. We don't want to give the world any more stuff to. But then we talked about, in a just quick review, 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. The Lord was dealing with me some years ago about this and talked about it. He said 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, dealt with the move of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit that are operation in the body of Christ. He said it went on to talk about the body and the body's need for one another, that we're one body, and those manifestations of those gifts are manifested through the entire body. So in other words, the body does need one another. Nobody's going to have to, there's no such thing as one person does everything, you know, that God manifests to. This is the great need. In other words, the body, the entire body of Christ together fulfills the ministry of Jesus Christ. There's no way to do that. We're called the body of Christ. It's just like you as a human, your head may be the bright part of you and has all the good, the thoughts and all the right things, but without your body, it has to function according to what your mind says to accomplish what you want to do. It's just like that in the earth. He ends that chapter really laying down the gifts that are set in the church in these last days. And he says about these gifts, he said first apostles and prophets and teachers and miracles. He laid down them according to their importance. Oh, my God, 90% of the church don't believe in any miracles today that there would be gifts like that in operation. Oh, they say God could do a miracle. He never does, but he could. They'd call a miracle, it's a miracle. If anything worked out in their life, it's a miracle. That's a miracle. You know, but they really don't believe in those things. Then he talks about gifts of healings. Those are established and setting God in the church. So we know this today. That most churches are not New Testament churches because they don't come in line with the things God says exist in the church. Now, I'm not saying this to criticize them, but listen, we need to face the fact. I'm tired of hearing people say, we got New Testament church, but they really don't want New Testament church. They think because they own a Bible that has a New Testament in it, it makes them New Testament. That isn't what makes you New Testament. Paul's telling them with the church and the operation. Paul went on to chapter 13 then, and he spoke to them about love. And he opened me up, we read the last time, he said, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. Here he mentions, he says, speaking in tongues. This word here, tongues, is not the word languages. Tongues here is a reference to speaking a language that is not naturally acquired. That's what it means. In other words, it's not, you can't go to school. It's not talking about, he said there's tongues of men. Remember on the day of Pentecost, first time tongues happened, they spoke tongues of men. But we also have in the Bible, we talk about people spoke in tongues, and Paul said you can speak in tongues where you're speaking unto, not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the spirits, you're speaking mysteries. So you're speaking, that's tongues of angels. In other words, you're speaking heavenly languages, or you could speak earthly languages being prompted by the Spirit of God. Back in 1900, the outpouring of the Spirit, Topeka, Kansas, a woman got filled with the Holy Ghost in Parham School, and on it would have been January 1st. It just had turned. I forget how far. It wasn't far past. And she spoke, and they later found it's Mandarin Chinese. She spoke, I forget how many days. In fact, they said it went so far is the fact that she even began to write in Mandarin Chinese, could actually write the language. This woman was completely uneducated, an unlearned woman, and yet she spoke it. They had a guy from one of the college come in to check out to find out what she's saying, this language that she's speaking, and they said it was Mandarin and Chinese. She could actually write it. People would ask her questions. She couldn't talk in any other language for I forget how many other days than in this language. People would ask her a question. She couldn't respond in English, but she would write it out in Chinese, and they would take it, have it interpreted, and it would be the answer to the question, whatever the people said. So that's pretty miraculous, wasn't it? Well, God moves in miraculous. Here we find it. One of the things we see here is the fact, though, is it doesn't. He's saying this. If we talk in tongues, whether we talk in tongues of men or angels, whatever we do, if we don't have love, what he goes on to talk about, it doesn't profit us anything. He says, you give your body to be burned, you know, give all your stuff away and all that. He says it doesn't profit you. Now, you need to. He says if you give all you have to the poor and that kind of stuff. Now, if I didn't walk in love and gave all that I have to the poor, now the poor would profit, wouldn't they? But it says, I won't. In other words, God's not going to bless me for doing what I'm doing when I'm not doing with a motivation of love. If I'm doing it, this is why people need to understand this. You can't be a person to give to get. That can't be your motivation. There's nothing a matter. You know, you have to want to, you give because the motivation always has to be out of love. See, I love to give. I love to do it. And just trying to get something. This is one of the things that's been wrong. It's been taught. I tell you, there's a lot of the people that teach on the areas of finances, they teach you to give to get. You can't. What you do isn't for, you're thinking about somebody else. Operation and gifts of the Spirit. You know, you get people over in those areas and God using you for something. You got to watch. You don't want God to use you so people notice you. You got to get past that stuff. Whether people like you or don't like you or whatever it is, that your motivation, you're doing it because it's the right thing to do and you're doing it in love, you're doing it to bless or you're doing it to help. You know, my mom and daddy, they used to correct me and, you know, I didn't always think it was so much fun. But number one, there's one of the things I realized today, they did what they did because they loved me. Now, at the time, I didn't think they did. I thought that was the devil for sure. Most people are like that today. You can't correct them at all because that's not love. I want to tell you, if somebody don't correct you, they don't love you. If you're doing things that are wrong and they don't correct you, they don't love you. I want you to understand that. They don't. They hate you. They won't correct you for it. They don't love you and don't ever think they do. People, too many people today want to be liked so much. They're so weak. Many Christians are weak in their own faith. They need somebody patting them and petting them all the time so they feel good because they just can't take nothing. Oh, been around them. Needy people all the time. Just needy. Needy all the time. So weak. And it's because of their weakness. They don't know God. They might have gotten born again. They never developed. They've never learned to walk in love themselves. They're always looking for somebody to try to love me, love me, love me. People wonder why things don't work for people like that. You can't get things to work for people like that. You can't get them to work for them. Because the motivation of what we do is love. You got born again, the love of God was shed abroad in your heart with the Holy Ghost. That's the bottom line of it. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be like Stephen. I'm going to preach to the church whether they take me out and stone me or not. It matters not. Why? Because people need to hear the truth. Because it's the truth that will make you free. So, but Paul, in the teaching of love, was the motivation of why we operate or do in these things. The motivation within the church, especially within the church, because he's talking here is about the church. The operation inside the church is for the edification of the church. The church has left this. The church is one of the biggest problems that I started to see happening years ago. The church in their attempt to be evangelistic really left the need of the body for the edification of one another to trying to reach the world. And almost all services, most people today, it's most Sunday services, but Sunday services, you go to most churches, they're geared, they're generally evangelistic, they're trying to reach somebody to come and stay in their church. And they call that growing the church. I'm going to tell you, if you're not growing spiritually, the church ain't growing. You can get as many people as you want. You can get 1 million people together, and if they ain't going nowhere spiritually, the church has not grown. The growth, the edification is building each other up spiritually. That's what it's about. You and I building each other. We join together. That's why going to church, I always find it's a necessity. I needed to always be in church. Why? Not for just Ed, for somebody else. Most people go to church for their own edification. You go to church for the body. I tell you, there ain't a better group to be around. Crazy as the church can be, it is the best group of people in the world to be around. It's the people I'm going to spend my eternity with. Better get used to it. Too many Christians don't like the church. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if some of them are going to get in heaven. I don't think you can not like a church. John said, if you don't love your brother, you have no eternal life in you. I didn't write that. He did. That's New Testament. Some of that Old Testament quote. It's a New Testament. You love your brother, you don't have eternal life in you. You know, I don't know, let's create that. Going to church with all them hypocrites. Dear Lord, the hypocrite calling the other people the hypocrites. Dear Lord. How crazy is that? I always pull this in people all the time. They'll call the church and asking for help. Where do you go to church? Well, I don't go to church. I don't think I need to go to church. Well, I say, why are you calling a church then to help you out? I said, people you don't like but you want our money? I said, it don't work that way. I said, you ain't getting nothing out of us. I said, you're a scoundrel. You call, tell me you don't like me, but you want my money. I said, you ain't no Christian. Why you call here lying and saying you're a Christian? I said, well, you ain't very nice to them. The whole problem that they do that stuff is because lying Christians will not tell them the truth. They'll sit and say, well, they just don't understand. They don't know. Well, somebody's got to tell them. Somebody's got to tell them. You know, I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be people in hell rightfully ridiculing the church. Rightfully ridiculing the church. Because the church helped send them there, did their best to make them feel comfortable in their sin. This guy ain't. You don't have to like me, but I'm going to tell you, tell them the truth. You're going to live certain ways. You can't go out here, you know, living like today of what we call good evil and evil good. Hallelujah. Well, we know with the Apostle Paul that there's demonstrations and manifestations of spirit to operate throughout the church. This is the spirit-filled church. That's the norm. This is the normal church. So, in other words, the fact that these things in operation in the church at Corinth is the normal. But now Paul has to just correct them on its usage in the church. Of manifestations of the Spirit, how do we allow them to operate? What do we do when we come to operate in gifts? Because everybody is gifted. Everyone is gifted. But we can't come together, the body can't come together and just at random anybody do what they want, you know. Be sort of like a guy running a business and he comes and everybody comes into work and decides what they want to do that day. Well, that ought to work out real well. That ought to turn out real good. I bet production at the end of the day is going to be great on that one. I'll tell you, that space cadet that was running that company out in Washington, he's a CEO of a company and decided he was going to pay all of his people, was it 70-some thousand a year or something like that? So he paid everybody 70,000. All. They said, this thing is such a wonderful, this neat thing. Well, his company's going under now because all of his lead people left. They said, man, we're doing all the work in the place. We're having to do the main things that make the money here. And you're paying these people and me the same salary? They said, goodbye. This woman he had who was the head, who was the big money honcho maker in the place, left him. Now he's sitting around. He's having all kind of trouble. And his stockholders and stuff are looking at, I don't know if they're going to put him on a rail or just burn him right where he's at. I'm not quite sure. But anyhow, hey, what happens to him? He deserves it. Is it the media? The media always, oh, this was a wonderful thing. Are they talking about it now? Oh, no, you don't hear about it no more because it doesn't fit the socialist agenda. Because when you do socialism, it always works out great. Socialism always works well. That's where the church is in a lot of its trouble. Most of the church is socialistic. Most of the church world is socialistic. Where they find out heaven's not, it's going to shock them. Where they find out everybody's not rewarded the same. Oh my God, I want to see the Pope's face. If he could get there, I doubt if he will. But maybe lucky he might, you know. A few of his homosexual friends might get there. Anyhow, good preaching anyway. And we talked about last week in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, we were told this is starting off. After speaking about love and its operation, then the the Apostle Paul wrote, he said, pursue love. You and I are supposed to pursue that. In other words, if that's our motivation, then we should pursue that motivation in the church, its operation in the church with each other. Pursue love. We're supposed to do that. He goes along and then he says, desire spiritual gifts, and the word gifts is italicized, but it's in reference to the he's been talking about. We know that there's gifts of the Spirit in operation, and so those gifts, we're supposed to desire those things. But that word desire there, as I said last week, if you look up that word, it's really a bad translation because it means to really to crave, to earnestly desire. It doesn't mean to, oh, we'd like to have that. This is why lots of times that things don't take place. The Bible tells us how we're supposed to desire a thing, and people turn around and think just because they'd like to have it, that's desiring it. You know, the way you desire something is going to have a lot to turn out about how if you'll ever get there in life. You know? You get somebody who really craves and desires to own a new car. One day they'll probably end up driving a new car. But you get the guy who would like one day to have a new car will probably be driving the old car for the rest of his life. He'll be driving old cars. Because what you earnestly desire is what you're going to really push for is to do. See, in life you find people earnestly desire certain things, and the things they earnestly desire for, most people arrive at what they earnestly desire. The things that they really feel important. There's a lot of people who like to have nice things, but let's party. You know, I just sort of want to lay and relax with my friends and let's play some games and let's do some, you know, hey. But it's what you desire. I learned that a long time ago. The things that I start to push myself in desiring, I have yet not to arrive at the goal that I wanted when I started pushing toward that. So what you desire. We're supposed to desire earnestly or to crave these spiritual gifts. The church is supposed to really want these. Why would God tell us to crave something that he was not going to cause to be showed up? But see, we have to want them. You know, something that's precious and something that's really valuable should be treated in that manner. If we think we can, you know, it's like one guy said, whatever you can live without, you will. Whatever you can live without, you will. And then, you know what? Most of the church world, they can live without gifts of the Spirit. They've learned. They can still have their religious thing. They can have churches. Pastors can make good, great salaries. They can have all kinds of stuff. They don't have to have God moving. They don't need to have it all. God never has to even show up. We build a big building, spend millions of dollars. Pull it up, God never even ever in the place. We can do it. My God, we've already proved that loads of times, haven't we? Do you desire for God to move? Do you desire? Well, that's what we're supposed to desire, only spiritual gifts. He says here, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, prophecy was one of the gifts. So he said to the church, like Mike prophesying the sport, by inspiration of the Spirit. It wasn't something Mike, you know, thought up of or his thing. You'd be amazing. You learn to hook over to your spirit. You wouldn't be able to be surprised how many times your spirit wants to say something that will inspire you. You're an inner man. Many times I have things. You know, people all of a sudden, they'll sort of get like, I don't know, it's the best way to put it. It's almost like an inward thought rises up. And we think, oh, that's neat, but what? If we would start to speak that thought, lots of times things follow. Done that many times. I just get something on the inside come up in me and I start to speak that thought. And when that thought comes, all of a sudden, here comes some other ones right out behind it. And you know what it's for? Because we're going to find out as we look at this, is the use of prophecy and edification in the church. The prophecy is used. Well, Mike's prophecy, was it edification of the church this morning? It was to edify us. That's what it was. Edification. So it's right in line with what we're going to find as the Apostle Paul's writing is what should go on in the church concerning these gifts in operation. Thank God we have the written word that we can read and we can do it, and I can teach and preach that. But God wants to have a voice to speak in things too what he wants to say personally. And it's a shame. All most churches have is just preaching. That's all you're allowed to have. Because there is no prophecy anymore. We don't believe in the gifts of prophecy. We don't believe in tongues interpretation. Those gifts have been gone. And churches that say they believe them, they only believe it in paper. It don't happen in the church. I can take you to spirit-filled churches that years ago had operations of gifts of the Spirit in church. You go there, you won't see none of that in their services. Big churches, you'll go there and they don't have none of that in the services. We don't have time for that now. We've got to get the people in and get them out. And if anybody wants to run into God, we have a back room over here. And God lives in the back room. We don't let him out. We're afraid if he gets out of the room, we'll never see him again. So we stuck him back there. And then we'll take you back there and we'll let God do something. But you know, there's people out here that don't understand about it and they might think it's weird and they won't come back and we won't get their checks. And the checks are more important than God moving. The Lord just reminded me of a story, and I'm going to tell the story. You've heard me talk about this before, but we first started the church. And we had been meeting in a home, and we met it out here at the hotel Quality Inn. The Quality Inn out here. There's a Quality Inn. And so we went to a room. We had a downstairs room area. It's a nice little area down there that they had, and we met down there. And we had been down there for a couple weeks. And the Lord gave me a message for Sunday talking about tongues. So, you know, here you are as a minister. You know, you just want to follow what God says. Here comes one of the people in. One of the people had to do with starting a church. He comes in first, and I guess his wife was still out in the car or something, I don't know. But he said, hey, I'm bringing in my uncle, and he's a Baptist. I sure hope you're not going to talk about tongues today. This guy's a seminary graduate. I think it was a cemetery graduate. This guy, you know, he's supposed to be, always thought like he was real spiritual. He always thought he was real spiritual. Walks in and he says that. He's ashamed of what he has. I don't care if anybody likes tongues. I talk in tongues. I do it often. I don't know if I do as much as Paul. It'd probably be good if I started doing that. Anyhow. But this guy, you know, he says, oh, I hope you don't do this. I'm bringing him in and that stuff. And I thought, well, you know. So anyhow, I said, Lord, maybe you can knock him out just in the corner somewhere. I said, his uncle will be better off without this idiot. And but I thought, I'm staying on track. I don't care what he said. And I got up and I did a sermon on tongues. So anyhow, after the service was over, now, this is an older gentleman, this Baptist gentleman. He's an older gentleman. I would say probably his 70s. Walks up to me. Now, this guy had been a born-again Christian since he'd been a young boy. Now, this was quite a shock to me as a young preacher, you know, doing it all the time. But he walked up to me and he said, Pastor, he said, I want to shake your hand. He said, that's the best message I've ever heard since I've been a Christian. I almost fell over. I said, would you go tell that knucklehead over there, your nephew, that moron over there, get him saved. You know, lead him to Jesus. Maybe take him to your church. You got more going there than he's got. But you see, people don't realize. See, the Holy Spirit is greater than we are. And the Holy Spirit can reach across to people. And that's why when we turn around and start backing off, trying to find ways to minimize our message, trying to ease our things in, trying to keep people, we don't want to do anything. The Holy Ghost is waiting to touch somebody, and that's why the Holy Ghost has not been able to touch people. Now, some of you folks sitting here, you remember the Full Gospel Businessmen meetings. My God, we would bring people into that place that never heard of God. And I'll tell you what, we acted like we all knew him big time, and we did from the standpoint of what most people did. We did. But you know, we weren't ashamed of what we had, and we acted it out there. And you know, look how many people came to Christ. Look how many people got filled with the Holy Ghost, would come to those meetings and get filled with the Holy Ghost. Loads of people would. We weren't ashamed of what we had. This whole demonic thing today is trying to find a way to change the gospel. So we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to do it. This is all demonic. This is the devil has got, it's our government's. We don't want to do anything. You can never say a word that would offend anybody. Because if you do, you know, you have to like everyone. You have to agree with everybody. You have to, you know, and especially if they're a minority, they have to have the supreme over everything. Folks, we bought this trash and it's in the church and the church is filled with it. The church world's full of it. Ministers afraid to speak. I've had ministers tell me there's messages they don't preach or afraid to stand in front of their congregation. I thought, let me at them. If they left, who? I don't care. They can tell me, say, hey, we ain't going to give you, you came here and preached, we ain't going to give you a nickel. I'd shake her hand and say, thank you. If the people like that, I wouldn't want your money. It'd probably end up burning to hell. You know, it's like, dear God, won't preach things. I had a minister say one time, filled with the Holy Ghost, lives here in Lebanon. Wouldn't preach it in his church because he said, if I did, if I preach at my church, they'll put me out and I'll lose my retirement. So I'm not going to preach the truth because I lose my retirement. Man, I'll preach the truth whether I lose my job or not. I don't care. I just preach the truth. I don't care. We don't stop doing what's right. Father, folks, there is a nuttiness out here, a craziness beyond measure. And I sit and look at it, I think, the wonderful life that's in this book and what it did to change my life. And the same people, many of them that led me into these things, are today heading in an opposite direction. The same leaders have left. And I'm like, I'm not changing. I know what this did for me. I know what it did for my life. And I'm not going to something else. I'm not going to something else. I'm just... My motivation is not for crowds, it's for the truth. I want God showing up. Crowds can't be the reason you want to do things. Because I'll tell you what will happen. They'll never be big enough. And after a while, your fiddle will only play to the crowd. It will. Hallelujah. My God, I got to keep my ego down. I don't need anything puffing it up. You don't think you have any, you already got it. Hallelujah. Paul went on in the second verse of 14, said, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men. Now he's talking about speaking in tongues. Men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So the Apostle Paul's telling us about when tongues are spoken, that when one speaks tongues, that the word, the tongues that come out, are not spoken to men. In other words, you need to understand this. If Michael here, this was two Sundays ago, you spoke in tongues. The tongues wasn't spoken to us. The tongues was the Holy Ghost speaking to the Father. The interpretation comes to me. It's not translation, it's interpretation. That's why you need to understand. It doesn't matter how long or short the tongues are, it has nothing to do with what's going to come out in interpretation. Because you're speaking what is being interpreted rather than translation. We're not translating. Totally difference between translation and interpretation. But we find out. So speaking in tongues, he said, when someone speaks in tongues, they don't speak to men but unto God. However, what? We're speaking a mystery. Well, it is a mystery. Michael was speaking in tongues and it was a mystery to me. What will happen is I'll get a word or so will come to me. Like some people act like, well, you know, I just all of a sudden get this thing comes out or somebody gets, I don't get it that way. I'll get a word or so that I know it's heading in. I'll start saying those words. And when I do, all of a sudden a flow just starts. That's an act of faith. That's what you have to do. You're always going to have to do it by faith. See, everybody's waiting. Well, I don't have the interpretation on that. Well, how do you know? Well, I don't know what all he said. Well, I didn't know none of hardly anything of what he said. Sometimes I'll have one or two words. And so I know this. I've learned over time. If I will start to speak out what I have, the rest of it comes. Just as natural. So you start to just speak out. It's the way you do it. But that doesn't come to me. When Michael's speaking, he's speaking to God. Ed ain't got a clue. I don't know. I don't know what he's saying. He's not speaking to Ed. He's speaking to God. The Holy Ghost in him is speaking to the Father. See, why does God do it that way? I don't know. Ask him. See, don't get into the technical side of the stuff. Don't get technical about it. It's a way that it operates. Let it operate. Hallelujah. Why? Because it'll bless us. See, people get so technical about it, and everybody loses the blessing because the more technical you get, the less it'll be in use. Hallelujah. Let's just flow with it. Amen? Now, it says this, but verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Well, we had that today. It was a good example Michael had today. See, the Holy Spirit was working here for this purpose. I believe is one of the things is that purpose, because the way we're direction we're teaching is in this. So Michael prophesied today. Now, simple prophecy. We're not talking about being a prophet here. This is simple prophecy. And it is done for this purpose in the church, and it's done in the church for the purpose. Here he tells us it's edification, it's exhortation and comfort. That's what it's for. That's why it was done. Well, what Michael said today would definitely fall within the parameters of those things. So we know from this standpoint, you see, that's where you can judge some things. Well, I know that was God talking. Because we do have some things to look at that Scripture says that we could sort of put a parameter around this thing and say, you know, what God's saying. Also, we could judge by scriptural standpoint. Somebody could say something that seemed edifying, but it's totally unscriptural. And I've been in services that have done that. Some of the craziest things you've ever seen in your life. I might use an example then for you, give you a little laugh. He who speaks in a tongue, verse 4, in tongue, edifies himself. Now, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Somebody who just speaking in tongue, it edifies you. It's doing something to you. But he said the person who prophesies, it edifies the church. So we want to do this. Now he goes on to say, he said, now listen to what Paul says. I wish you all spoke with tongues. He said, I wish you all did. Now I want you to understand, he's talking about here speaking in tongues as a ministry gift, not speaking in tongues as being filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, I wish you all spoke in tongues. He's talking about in a service where you give a tongue. Not everybody operates in that. Not everybody operates. We found out, if you go over and read in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, that those gifts are given severally as he wills. So not everybody in the body is going to operate in that area. So don't think it's weird. Say, well, I don't get a tongue for to be interpreted. God may not use you in that way. God's used me in that way since the time I first got filled with the Spirit, started operating. In fact, the first thing that operated me was interpretation. That was the first thing I was in. I was sitting in a meeting, young Christian, only, man, no more 6-8 months old. Person stands up in a meeting, 500 people, gives a tongue, and I get the interpretation. And I'm going to tell you, Ed didn't want it. Like, I'm there, oh my God. I knew I had it. The anointing was on me. I knew I had it. And I sat there and they sort of had to coax it out of me. I finally stood and gave the interpretation. But that was the first time I'd ever done it. After that, I found that, you know, operating in tongues and interpretation would work. Both worked in me. I believe a lot of that has to do with being in the pastoral gift, because of my pastoral gift. Some people will have tongues. Some people will have interpretation. There are other people. Sometimes they will have tongues and interpretation. They will do it. Now, Paul's explaining here in the church and how these things are done. He said, I wish you all spoke with tongues. I wish everybody would have a tongue. So sometimes, you can have it a service sometimes. I've been in service ready, people spoke in tongues. And it wasn't for the congregation, it was for them. You have to learn to know yourself, what's for you. That's where you have to learn. You know, sometimes you can get inspired, but you need to know if it's inspired for the body or if it's inspired for you. That's part of understanding that. Just because you get an inspiration to speak out in tongues doesn't mean it necessarily should be said. And especially, you need to learn as you grow is judging the time and the things and bringing it out. Those things are in your control, not God's. They're in yours. Because you want to find out, the Apostle Paul talks about tongues. He talks about coming to church and having one. In other words, before you get there, you already got a tongue. So in other words, it's not something that always just pops up off the spur of the moment. I've had a ready where I've asked the Lord to bring one back to me. It's something I knew to come and get, and I asked him to bring that back to me again, and then I spoke a tongue out. So, you know, we have to learn in these things. We could have learned in these things if the church would have taught in these things by going to the Scriptures, but they haven't. They haven't taught it from the Scriptures. I wish y'all spoke in tongues, but more, even more, that you prophesied. See, the most he wants, he in a church. Now, we're talking about in a church. This has to do with being in a church meeting. We're together. And Paul is going to go on to explain why. He said, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with a tongue unless he interprets. Indeed, he interprets. In other words, if there's not an interpretation, it's not going to do this, that the church may receive edification. This is the whole point of what we do in the church here together, as we're here together, is to bring edification to the church. That's the most important. In the service, the most important is to bring edification to the church. Most church services are geared today toward, we don't want to make any, if a sinner came in, we don't want to make him feel uncomfortable. It's geared toward the sinner from the standpoint of like, what can we do to make him feel comfortable? It's not toward the edification of the church. This is why the church hasn't grown. This is why America's in the mess it's in. The church has not been edified. The church hasn't been built up. People that come from the outside into the church become the rulers of the church. They rule the spirit that it'll operate in. They'll rule how far it will go. They ain't here. If you don't want God, if you're looking for something else, if you're looking for a Christianity that's something that you can just live like hell and go to heaven, you ain't going to get along with Ed. You ain't going to like his preaching for sure. Because I won't change it for people. I'm not going to change it. We can't do that. We're going to preach the truth. Not because we hate anyone. We love people, but we've got to tell them the truth. We have to tell them the truth. We love folks. I don't want anybody standing in Jesus' face. You know what I'm saying? Ed lied to me about what the Scriptures said. He lied. He didn't tell me the truth. He told me I was okay. One of the books that I have, and a lady was called up to heaven. One of the things that she, while she was there, they sort of, it was a thing that part of the book deals with things about in hell. One of the things about it really sort of emphasized the fact of the hatred of ministers in hell because they lied to the people and didn't preach the truth. And the people would curse them and swear at them, you know, hate them for what they did. Because he didn't preach the truth. I'm going to tell you, there's ministers. Jesus Christ said himself, we need to understand this, to him who much is given, much is required. Jesus Christ said, there's going to, when he returns, there's going to be these groups, guys are going to say, hey, I did all this in your name. Look what I did. They're going to miracles. They did all this wonderful stuff. He's going to say, go away. I don't even know you. Jesus said that. Those kind of things don't get preached, but Jesus said it. It's what Jesus said. We gotta speak the truth. So in other words, in our church service here, we shouldn't be, but in other words, Paul's saying that because they had a problem there. People were just speaking out in tongues in the church. From a church historical standpoint, they talk about the church at Corinth because they had a lot of this kind of stuff going on. People were just speaking out in tongues in the service. There was no interpretation to it. Really, it brings confusion. You have those things going on. What he's just dealing with here is when somebody speaks out in tongues, that there should be an interpretation to that. I've heard Kenneth Hagin already do it nicely already with an individual. Concerned that spoke out with a tongue, and Brother Hagin, I was at a meeting, and he said, that tongue's not for us. It's for you. He said, I'll give you the interpretation of it. And he gave him the interpretation of it. He said, that wasn't for everybody here to be brought out here. But you brought it out now. Give it to him. And he gave the person the interpretation of it. Which I thought was a really good lesson from a standpoint. There's one thing is we need to understand here in church. And I've told you guys all the time, you know, if somebody speaks out in a tongue, you have an interpreter in the church. There's an interpreter in the church. So people never have to fear. That's how God uses me as an interpreter. That's one of the things is... He used me. I speak in tongues and I interpret. So that people don't have to, if I'm present in a meeting, people can know that if there's a tongue given, there is an interpreter, because we want to find out, as you go down here and read the things that the Apostle Paul teaches, that as you go down through and learning in these things, that it's important to understand, you're supposed to know if there's an interpreter. You're supposed to know it. You should not be giving out a tongue unless you know there's an interpreter. If you don't and can't interpret yourself, then you need to know that there is an interpreter. You need to know that. That's why somebody walking out from a meeting and just, and I've seen this over the years, people would come walking into a meeting and they would just come into a meeting and you'd have these, I don't know what you call them, these people would jump from meetings to meetings and they would go at places and they were always the real spiritual and they would just come, they would go from different, they would just start out in tongues in a place and they would, you know, they're not familiar with the congregation and they just go up and give a tongue and stuff like that. And not knowing if there's an interpreter in the place, and they didn't have interpretation. They always thought they were spiritual. And you know what they thought they did? Well, what's wrong with this place? Nobody interpreted. And they look at the other people as if they're not spiritual. The Apostle Paul talked about interpretation. We'll find out as we go on. We're not going to go into it today. But if there's not an interpreter, you're not supposed to give a tongue. In other words, you're supposed to know a bit about the congregation you're in. If I go into a place and they don't, I don't know them well or know anything, and I'm just going to attend a service, it's their service, man. I go in and sit down, and I just go in there, whatever they're doing, I'm doing. But I'm not trying to go, because you don't know what's going on. You don't know who can interpret or whatever else, and you don't know in the place of what they want to do, you don't do that. There's a thing of keeping order within a place, and there's a lot of people think, well, just because I got something, I'm going to give it. These people are troublemakers. It's not the way we do it. We're not in to tear up anybody's church. I mean, I've sat in many services and that stuff with people who don't believe a thing in the gifts of the Spirit and stuff like that. Well, I'll get edified as much as I can through their services, but I ain't going to try to mess up their service for them. That's their service. It ain't Ed's. And see, we have to learn to do that. We have to learn to walk in it. Now, if they ask me to do something, I will. But I won't. I don't ever push myself or go over in the areas that ain't mine. It's not my church. It's not where I'm at. But you want to understand as we're here. I just want to say, and talking about prophecy, and I'll end with this with a story. Sometimes things get nutty. Mike knows about this. It's a church we were in, and we would meet up at the Presbyterian Social Hall and up there on Maple Street. And they wanted to be open to things of the Spirit, but they were too open to the things of the Spirit. And did dumb things because, you know, they would just leave things open to anybody, you know. And I'll never forget, and I knew something dumb was going to come. But the pastor stood up and he said, if anybody got something with God, just bring it forth. And generally doing that to a congregation. Now, you know, because there was too many immature people in that church that didn't know nothing. You know what? I could do that here and we wouldn't get a bunch of nonsense. With them, you knew you were going to get some nonsense. You knew you were going to get some nonsense. But anyhow, there was a woman stood up. And when she stood up, I thought, oh my God, the service is dead after this one. I'll tell you, you'll never get anybody back over into anything of God after she starts. Because, I mean, she was just as dumb as a stick. And she stood up. And there was a deacon in the church, and he was always sort of like, I don't want to call him a womanizer, he wasn't like sexually after women, but he was always running around trying to talk to women all the time. He was this kind of guy, it's just the way he was. And anyhow, he had always just sort of flirt with her a little bit. And she stood up with her prophecy about how God had told her that he was going to marry her. And they you remember that, Mike? Yeah. Oh, my God, I can remember. I remember the pastor, he just stood there. He just started dumb, and I thought, oh, you should have had more sense than this. I'm going to tell you, now, this is great, because I was just a young Christian when this was going on. And I had more sense than that. you got to know where people are at and what you can say out to allow people to join in. And she went on with this and that about God told him about the two. And we're sitting there, and you could see him. He wanted to crawl under the seat. And I was thinking the whole time, he's getting something he deserves, man. He needs this, and it's out in the public. But it wasn't God trying to do this at this time. It was really not understanding spiritual things and operations and this kind of thing. Now, you definitely wouldn't want to have new people, and we did at that time, so new people into the church, and they're sitting and listening to this. They're not going to very much want to come back to your church because they'd say, man, these people will say anything and embarrass anybody. I don't want to go there. There was nothing edifying about it. So we know that words didn't come from God. It did not edify or build up. It was like, oh my God, what is going on? And you could just see people are like, you know. And it was quite a unique experience. And sometimes you might have that. And those, I guess, for them were learning days, but I don't know if they learn a lot anyhow. So, but you have to understand, we must use sense when we come around to doing these things of operation of the gifts of the Spirit. We have to understand. You've got to judge things that God brings to you to say, if it is out of public, if I'm going to say something, this is God saying it. Is number one, you have to be a person that will put up with the consequences of what you say. If you're not willing to, keep your mouth shut. I've learned over time in preaching and whatever in prophecy, I'm willing to take consequences of what I say. That's just the way it has to be. You have to be it that way. And you have to understand, sometimes God may say something. Because it says, speaks to edification, exhortation. To exhort, an exhortation can be a bit of a correction. And I found out a long time ago, Christians don't like to get corrected any more than any other group. And because sometimes God gave a person, and it was a legitimate, thing that they said. It was true. But they got upset because the person got offended by it and didn't like it. Well, they just wanted the person to like it, and, you know, the person just didn't treat them nicely over it. And they didn't. So, but I'm telling you, it didn't end up a good situation. It's like, if it bothers you and you're touchy in your flesh and you're all those people, you get hurt easy, stay out of the business. It's not for the faint of heart. No, but most of the time dealing with, judge what God's giving you to say, because you'll find out there's things will start to come out to you. Because as we'll find in the writings that Paul wrote, that he said when you come together, you could have a tongue or you could have a prophecy. Michael brought something forth that's something he already had had and brought it forth today. It came forth and came again. So it's something he already had. So you can have that. So he could know in judging what he was going to say, so he could have some control in the judgment of what was going to be said. So, and we need to understand this. This is not God operating through you without you. No gifts of the Spirit operate without you. There's a control part. You'll read, we'll talk about this because you go on. It says the spirit of the prophet is controlled by the prophet. The prophet don't have to speak if he don't want to. You know, people don't understand. See, we have all this Calvinistic teaching. Well, if God wants it, it'll happen. If God this and God that. My words, if God would have it, in other words, you would always do the perfect will of God. Well, get over it. I ain't never done that in my life. And you ain't either. So why would we carry such stupid doctrines? Why would we have the ideas that gifts of the Spirit in operation, it's outside of us? It's outside of me. The Holy Ghost does not take over control of Ed Gibson when he operates in gifts. Don't take over control of me. I have to yield to him, allow them to operate through me. And I can determine. I've sometimes didn't do things God wanted to do. Regretted it. Some things, times God wanted certain things said and I didn't say it. I've gotten a little bit bolder since then. There's things you don't want to say. You're trying to keep everybody happy, you know. You want to keep people happy. I just decided, my God, put the six gun on and come to church. Put on your boots and a hat. Let's go at it. What do you think? Hallelujah. Got a whip and a gun. We're in good shape. that's only protection for me. You don't understand that. It's not to beat you with. I'm just trying to protect myself. just kidding. But understand these things. When we get around into these areas of how God moves and how the Spirit moves, it's not some weird, spooky stuff. Lots of times, I will tell you, you have intuitions of things that God's trying to move through you. You just don't recognize it as it. You have to learn to recognize it. Because He doesn't do it without you. He never does anything without you. Never operates anyway without you. He always uses human beings. Always manifests Himself through human beings. That's what He does. And He uses us. It's just the same way with preaching. No matter how anointed I get at preaching, I don't have, you know, no self-control that I cannot maybe say things. Or sometimes that I've had in the past where God wanted to say certain things. I didn't say, I knew He wanted to say certain things. I let it go. And you've done it too in your life. There's things at times that people, you knew you needed to say something and you didn't. So don't look at Ed like he's some backslidden buzzard. Just join the club. We all been there, right? We all been there. We lived this. But I want you to say, don't live in condemnation. We're learning through all these things and we're developing. We're developing. Thank God. God didn't throw me out because I'm dumb sometimes. He didn't throw me out. He'll keep training you and training you. And this is what we want to do, this move of the Spirit. We're in a time of the move of the Spirit of God, and God just wants you to step in. He wants you to be relaxed, not fearful and worrying about what's going on. You know, we have some good spiritual sense. We've been taught here enough to have some good spiritual sense about some things. To know what to do and not what to do. That's been one of the great shames. And about, see, when I got born again back in the charismatic renewal days, most people weren't taught much. My God. How about it, Mike? Whew. People do the craziest stuff and do this wildest thing. But they weren't taught much. And a lot of craziness went on. And what people don't realize, it stopped a lot of the things of the move of the Spirit God wanted to do. Because people were just not being taught properly. And they were really messing things up that God wanted to do. But see, as you get trained more and more, you learn how to operate over in the areas of the Spirit. Where you can learn how to do things and operate. It's like with Smith Wigglesworth. It was very foreign to me when I heard him the first time I read in his book. And he said, if the Holy Ghost don't move, I move the Holy Ghost. And I thought, what on earth does he mean by that? I'm just trying to get the Holy Ghost to move. Dear Lord, I just wish the Holy Ghost would do something. But I realize today, now there's things I understand about the Spirit because I've understood about the Word. I know how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit totally different than I did at the time that I heard that. And there's things I know how to get the Holy Ghost to move. There's things that I know that I can do that will start the Holy Ghost moving. But you have to learn those things over time. And that's through the, we train and teach through the Word, but you start to learn in your own development. And you get to the place where you learn how to flow in the things of God and walk in the things of God yourself. You'll learn to do those. So don't, I mean, as we go through these things, don't get over in the areas of like, oh my God, what do I got to do? What do I got to do? It's one of the things, it's one of the worst things you can do is get yourself in your mind over there and thinking about this stuff and getting in your mind and getting over there thinking. You get yourself so darn confused. This is an operation of the Spirit, not an operation of the mind. It's an operation of the Spirit. One of the things you want to always do is become more sensitive on the inside. More sensitive of what's going on in you instead of what's going on in the outside or what I'm thinking at the time. But what's going on inside of you? Learning to listen on the inside. Listening to God on the inside. You know, it was last night before I went to bed, just listening to God, laying there for over an hour. Listening to God on the inside because He lives in here. Listening to what's going on in me instead of what's going on up here. Inside here, there's things going on. There's thoughts going on in the inside. There's things being said on the inside of me. My spirit man has a voice, but he doesn't get a voice to the outside until I speak what he wants to say. That's where faith comes from. That's why many people have such much faith problems, because they don't know about listening on the inside. They keep talking from their head. Words believed in your head and spoken never come to pass. You got to believe in your heart. And say it with your mouth. I don't care how much you believe it in your mind. The power is on the inside. It's what's on the inside. You know, it's like Michael spoke here this morning by the Holy Spirit. That was God specifically wanting to speak into our meeting. Now, is my preaching more important than what he said there? Now, God may inspire me to stand here and preach and teach a word and do stuff, but that inspiration is just as important. That was God speaking into God. Number one, you're going to have to learn, whether it's tongues, interpretation of tongues, whatever it is, you've got to treat it with respect. If you believe that, this isn't a show going on. This is God speaking. This is God talking to us. And you've got to start treating those words like God's talking. You've got to reverence those words like God's talking. Because if you don't, he'll quit talking. Much of the church world likes to have something said. It's the same way with preaching. I don't care how a good minister you get in front of you. If you don't start living what he preaches, God will start cutting the preaching. What's the point? God don't waste his time. He don't preach to people that don't want to hear it. That's why a lot of these big name ministers can only come up with 20-minute sermons in their church. My God, you got to think something to say to these people who don't really want to hear it. They're just coming and doing their Sunday thing and going home. Give me a 20-minute sermon. We're out of here. An hour's time. We come in. We have with all of our announcements and then all we play around and do. And then we turn around. 20-minute sermon. And then if anybody wants anything, they can see it everybody. And everybody's going to lunch. Okay. But if anybody wants to meet God, he is in the back room back here. So you go back there and you go back and the rest of them all jump out the door. And they say next. And the next group comes in. And they call this church. There's no church to it. The church never met. Church was never there. They had no interest in. We're coming in here. Just tell me I'm okay. I'm great. This is good. Throw the check in the plate. Out here. Keep you long enough there to get the check. It's got to keep the ministry running. You got to stay here long enough to check. Don't let them out with the check. Out the check. That's right. You check them out there. I'll tell you. Right. Get their name and check. And we put a kiosk in so they can put it. But you make sure their name is in a kiosk they had given. If they haven't, I'll tell you what. We're going to have a sermon next Sunday with that guy. And as a minister's conference. And they said, well, if your offerings and stuff are down, you need to start preaching on offerings. You know, and the money's down. You need to start preaching about giving and that kind of stuff and tithing and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, big mouth me. I just said, excuse me, I said it'd be a sin to do that. Well, believe me, there was a hush in the crowd. I've done that sometimes. I can cause a hush in a crowd. I said, you can't preach on a subject for your own benefit. You can't preach on them giving. I said, you're teaching them on the areas of tithing. It's so you get an offering. I said, the Bible, we preach the word to bless the people. It's so they get money. I can't preach to get money out of people's pockets. Well, they sure do today, don't they? Why? And it's sin, too. And the Lord talked to me about it personally, about how mad he is at these people that are preaching to get money in their pockets. Man, I want you guys blessed. I want you blessed. God can't take care of the church. He ain't who he said he was. But I'm going to tell you, I know this. The more you get blessed, the more this church will get blessed. So why wouldn't I preach for you to get blessed? And that's why the motives have to be. See, there's no love in the fact of me preaching messages so I get what I want. It's not what we do. I preach messages so God can do for you and your life what he wants. That's what we do. God wants to move in your life. Hallelujah. What good is it to do if I have it and you don't? Who cares? Dear Lord, you want it, don't you? You want to be blessed. Hallelujah. I want the church blessed. I want everybody in the church blessed. I don't want to be a little group here and there. Be blessed. I want the church blessed. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. I know I've gone a long time. Hallelujah. I'm windy today. Man, God's been talking to me and glory to God. I've had this week's been hard for me from the standpoint of looking at what's going on in the church wise because it's hurting God's people. And it's God's people. God's people. Hallelujah. I tell you, so many Christians are in a mess and they're in a mess because it's because they're bad people. They haven't been taught right. They got leaders just dumb as a stick. and are just leading them in directions that are just got things so messed up. And it hurts their lives. It hurts their families. Hurts everything around them. And you know, my desire, I'll tell you, I want to see the church that the Bible says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want everybody to be in the glorious church, you know. I want everybody to know this wonderful God that is so, He is so good. He is so wonderful. And He'll bless you so easily. You don't have to try to twist His arm. You don't have to spend days and night and fasting and praying trying to get Him to do something for you. Dear Lord, in spite of you, He'll do something. Hallelujah. Lord, I know that. I know it's true. In spite of me, He's done a lot of good things for me. Sometimes it was just downright in spite of me. I wasn't calling out just trying to be dumb or anything. I just sometimes, you know, sometimes we're just ignorant of things. But we walk in the faith that we know and we have. And I'll tell you what, He loves it. If you walk in the light that you got, He thinks you're the best, next best thing to slice bread. He thinks you're so wonderful that you just walk in the knowledge that you have. He thinks that's great. He don't expect you to walk where Billy Graham walks if you don't know what Billy Graham knows. He don't expect you to walk in that the next guy knows if you don't. If you walk in the light that you got, I'm going to tell you what, He's tickled. There's a whole thing, a lot of people, they ain't got no light to walk in. A lot of the church world ain't got much light to walk in. They don't have, God to them is some kind of foreign thing. Hallelujah, but He's not to us. God's going to move among us more and more in things of the Spirit, not just here in church, not just here at this place when we meet together as a church, but in your own personal life. I learned about the gifts and the manifestation of the Spirit in my own personal life. I would operate them. I'd go spend time in prayer with God and go spend it, and manifestations of the Spirit would start to take place. And I learned about things of the Spirit. Things would start rising up out of the inside of me. I'd just start acting on them. And I found out, hey, these are things of God coming up out of me. And I learned to just start acting on it. So going out into public and doing them wasn't near as hard. It's nice knowing them, learning a little bit about it before you go out there and make a fool out of yourself. You know, isn't it? And He will. He'll manifest Himself to you and through you in your private everyday life. I believe the gifts of the Spirit probably will operate more within people outside the church than they will in, from a general standpoint. In my own personal life, it's always been that way. That outside of the church, I've had more demonstration and manifestation of the Spirit operating than I have in the church realm. And see, we've always, you know, used them for, hey, they're for the, when you get to the church, it gets together. Now, this is for all the time. Hallelujah. You can have God show up all the time. Isn't that what you want? Hallelujah. All the want? I mean, Mike talking about it, God, what? Been doing this thing, is showing up, giving Him revelation, giving Him, showing Him things. He's talking about these things. You know, certain day gives Him something, then gives Him another piece, and then gives Him another piece. These are God showing up, God revealing Himself, showing things. This is an everyday thing. We shouldn't be waiting to have experiences with God for maybe 1 year, and maybe down a year, something down the road. I don't know what that's like. I have experiences with God often. I mean, my personal, you know, woke up this morning and 4 o'clock, laying there in bed, minding my own business, just woke up wide awake. But I'm going to tell you what, God showed me things. We just spent time with God there, laying on the bed, acting like I had sense. It was only an act, of course. But I was laying there in the bed, just me, blabbing away with God and talking to God, getting revelation on things, and here I stand talking all the crazy stuff. I'll tell you. Hallelujah. Where's this man coming from? I don't know. I'll tell you what. Make him sleep at night. Do something to him. But anyhow, is God moving among us? And God will move among us. And He'll move. Expect it. I mean, get an expectation. And if you don't talk it, you don't have an expectation. You have no expectation. There's no expectation that is not spoken. It will never come to pass. Nobody's expectations ever come to pass that have not been talked. You know, a woman wants to get pregnant. She don't ever talk about it with her husband. No, we don't say a thing about it. I just don't want to. She has an expectation for certain things to talk about to bring it to pass. Expectation must always be talked. Expectation unspoken will never happen. It's not coming to pass. I have been saying for I don't know how many years, God moves through me. God manifests Himself through me. That's what He does. He likes to manifest through it. Hallelujah. He wants to. He said in His Word. The gifts are divided severally. They're to everybody as He wills. That's what He said. If Ed don't have any gifts operating, he wouldn't be a child of God. So I must. God must. Oh, He's going to use Ed. My God, He's going to use Ed. He's going to manifest through Ed. My expectation was spoken and spoken and spoken and spoken and spoken. And it's still spoken. He might manifest through me, but I still speak it. Hallelujah. God will manifest through me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When I'm standing in the pulpit to preach, my word, my expectation is the anointing of God to come on me to preach a sermon. And it will come on me. When I get in the pulpit, the anointing will come in the name of Jesus. I'll go there because God wants to anoint me. He wants to anoint me to preach the word. That's what He wants to do. Some preachers say, well, I tell you, we don't know if God anoints you or not. You don't know. Oh, shut up. Dear Lord, there's no expectation. Faith is full of expectation. No expectation, there's no faith. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You this morning because there's a people here in this place. And Lord God, they're expecting something. Lord God, there's people in here that are just craving. There's things that they crave and desire. Lord God, they're tired of the status quo. They're tired of the way things have been.